The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are getting your skulls crushed by the pile driver of John Orlando with his PBD cast in your face.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 227. Well, as the coronavirus continues its grip on our nation, I hope that you are healthy. I hope that you are safe. I hope your friends and family are likewise healthy and safe. This episode is entitled the Mount Rushmore episode, because I'm going to be joined by the pro wrestling pundits as we are going to discuss who should be on a Mount Rushmore professional wrestling for men competitors, women competitors, tag teams, managers, and competitors from the Central Ohio area. And I'm going to be honest, there's a whole backstory as to why we're doing this episode, but it's kind of explained in the main part of episode 227, so I'm not going to bore you with those details again. Obviously, since we are in the situation that we are in, DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand, they jumped on the phone and joined me from their own homes. So we were not breaking any social distancing rules or anything along those lines while we recorded this past Tuesday night. It's a fun episode. I hope you enjoy it. But before we get to it, I need to let you know real quickly about the great sponsor of the PVD cast. And that, of course, is World's Greatest Comics. It's the one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. I mean, they got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, back issues, posters, collectibles. And if you want to make sure you don't miss a single issue of your favorite comic, all you got to do is sign up for their pull system and you'll never miss an issue. So you could check them out online, wgcomics.com. You can find them on Facebook, just search for World's Greatest Comics. And eventually, somewhere down the road, maybe not here in the next few weeks, but somewhere down the road, you can stop by the store. And they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. I gotta be honest, the way that the economy right now is very, very unstable, maybe is the best way to say it. When the chance comes and you have disposable income to spend, definitely stop on by World's Greatest Comics. And I would appreciate it. I know Jeff and the fine folks over there will appreciate it. And, you know, I couldn't be happier to have them as a sponsor. I know I say it all the time, but it really does help out, and I really appreciate it. So, again, when the time comes, as I said, maybe not here in the foreseeable future, but when the time comes, you got money to spend, you want some comics, stop on over at the store, World's Greatest Comics. Again, thanks, Jeff. Thanks, everybody over there. I hope you're all safe and healthy. And with that, I'm starting to ramble a little bit, so let me just throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'm going to be joined by the pro wrestling pundits, Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze, as we talk about the Mount Rushmores of professional wrestling. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our discussion about who should be on the Mount Rushmore professional wrestling. Of course, I'm joined by the pro wrestling pundits. DJ Joey Blaze, how are you this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. And don't pull a sneaky one, John. I know you're going to try and sneak yourself in there because we're going to talk about Central Ohio. And I know you're a big mark for yourself. So don't try and sneak yourself in there. Rand and I won't allow it.
And with that mentioned, Ringside Rand, how are you?
I'm doing well. Life is good here in the Golden Ghetto, even when you're sequestered self-quarantined.
First of all, I would like to respond to those allegations. I would not put myself on the list. So you don't have to worry about that, Joey. But, I know
you're talking pro wrestling talent, so I understand why you wouldn't do that.
Right. If we're talking about podcasting, then I would definitely put myself on that Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
So real quickly, we are recording this remotely because I imagine we have to mention it. It is some strange times that we are currently living in.
I wouldn't have forecasted this, and we broke off from the last one we had. I'll tell you, this is insane. And watching on the night we're recording this right now, all the stuff that's going around in other parts of the country, I hope everybody's doing well. I want to wish everybody right out the gate here good health and best of luck with all this. It's definitely some strange time.
It certainly is.
I'm going to quote Mark Cuban. This is something out of a movie.
Oh, it is. It is very much so. Like, never would I have ever thought in all my life that we would see something as weird and as unusual and as bizarre and as dangerous. Let's not downplay it. It is a dangerous situation that we're in. But it's just weird. It's just, I don't know. That's the best way to describe it.
This is literally like when one of your other podcasts, you have on one of your professionals from the comic or other parts of the entertainment industry, like you guys would be actually maybe talking about the movie that's going on right now.
Right.
Like you'd break it down. And Grant's totally correct in talking about what Mark Cuban said about that. It's just, so hopefully we can kind of give you everybody out there something to discuss, argue with, give us some hell on our social media, something to pass the time, something we can all rally around, something small, but anything we can do to help out. And I really appreciate you having me on here, John, to be a part of that.
I just think we're going to give out some grounds for friendly discussion. Agree and disagree with us.
Yes, and I'm going to give the listeners a little background as to how this topic came up, because it's kind of a little bit of a twofold type of story. A few months ago, when we got together to talk about the preview for the Royal Rumble, we kind of ended the episode kind of joking, but kind of also being serious about the Canadian Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling. And about a week or two later, I received an email from friend of the show, Billy Jackson, and Billy had stated that it was really kind of coincidental that we had mentioned that because he was listening a few days later to a radio station in his home, which he's down in Florida, and they were talking about the subject of the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling, and he wanted to get our take on the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling based on a couple different criteria. We'll talk about that criteria here in a minute, but I'd like to also, since I've mentioned him, just fill in some of the folks that might be listening and maybe they're tuning in for the first or second time and they have no idea what to expect with the PVD cast. Billy Jackson was a referee here in Central Ohio for a very long time, worked a lot of the independent pro wrestling circuits up here. And I'm trying to remember, and Joey, maybe you can help me out. I'm trying to remember the first time I met Billy. I want to say it was PWC, the Pro Wrestling Coalition, but I'm not sure.
That's around the first time I met him. I personally, because I wasn't as big as a mark for local wrestling as probably I should have been and wish that I was. But as I got to know him, he became one of my better friends in wrestling, to be honest, back then. And I personally kind of feel bad. I kind of fell off the face. You're talking to Billy. Billy's always been a solid dude to me. So it's nice that he stays in touch with the cast and throws out stuff like that. But that's about the time I first met him too.
Yeah, because I was thinking today, I was pretty sure he was not one of the officials used in FIW. And I think that PWC was the first time that we met, which I know Billy will let me know when he hears the episode. I know he'll shoot me out an email and clarify.
He'll send you his resume.
Yes, he probably knowing him, how thorough Billy is, he probably has the date and the time that we met, probably written down somewhere.
Who doesn't though with you though, John? Let's be honest.
You know, I never met him, but somehow I think he owes me money.
More than likely. Who knows? Billy's a character for sure.
All right, so he gave us the idea that he would like to have us discuss what male competitors should be on the Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling, what female competitors should be on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling, tag teams, managers, and, of course, Central Ohio, who should be on the Mount Rushmores. So basically, I think that the way that we've looked at it, we've kind of looked at it from these are the people, the four people we would put on this statue or this monument, if you will. But overall, they kind of had to have had a pretty large footprint on wrestling, whether we're talking about at the national or international level or at the local level, like we'll do with the Central Ohio folks. So just real quick, for those folks that are maybe a little bit clueless, Mount Rushmore, of course, is a monument. It's up in South Dakota. It features, of course, Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Teddy Roosevelt, four presidents kind of carved into the side of a piece of earth. One thing I did not know about it while doing some research, it was completed in 1941.
Which was when Rand was born, if I'm not mistaken.
If I didn't have my hearing aid in, I wouldn't have heard that.
Oh. The sad thing is you had to explain that to some people, because there's some people out there that don't know what that is. But that's a whole nother podcast for a whole nother subject, if you ask me.
Hey, man, I'm just being thorough. I'm just being thorough.
That's quite all right.
All right, let's start with the men. And I'm just going to throw it out there real quick. I'm assuming, you know, when we talk about wrestlers should be on the Mount Rushmore, I'm assuming that all three of us probably already have two penciled in. They're all the same. I'm assuming that we have Hogan and Flair on our lists, correct?
Ringside?
I got Flair, but I do not have Hulk Hogan.
Really?
Wow. That's controversial right there out the gate.
Joe, you have Hogan and Flair for the record, correct?
That's correct, right.
Okay, well then let's talk about the third person. Joey, why don't you start? Who would be your third addition to this monument?
Well, mine are in no particular order. I feel when you talk about a Mount Rushmore, it's kind of like four guys are up there together. They're not, if you look at them left to right, they're not one, two, three, four, if you're to rank who they were in American history, in my opinion. So, in no particular order, I do have the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. I do have Terry Bollea. I also have Stone Cold Steve Austin. And then I have one because I think you look at it and you look at who he is and what he's done, and this might be a little bit of a weird one for some people too, but I have John Cena as my four Mount Rushmore. If we were to go, and I just want to throw the term erection in there today, so if we're going to erect this monument today, just because I like to use terms like that, I would put those four on it. But I have honorable mention. What I've done when I did my Mount Rushmore, I was like, what if we have a big enough stone and we could add maybe two more? Maybe if we had honorable mention. So I'll give you my Mount Rushmore, Flair, Hogan, Austin, Cena. But my honorable mention is the Macho Man, yeah, Randy Savage. And, of course, Shawn Michaels. Just because of who they were and what they were to pro wrestling during their time in wrestling.
So I find it interesting that you mentioned if we could add more to Mount Rushmore. Because the one other thing that I learned that I did not know while doing some research on the actual Mount Rushmore, it was actually supposed to be a full figures of like Washington, Lincoln. It was supposed to be a full figure, but they ran out of money. So that's why we only have their heads.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, there you go.
If they put Too Cold Scorpio up there, we know that they'd probably run out of Rock to do his full body, but that's a whole nother.
All right, Rand, what say you on your four choices for the men?
I went with Ric Flair. I went with The Undertaker, Andre the Giant, and I think the one that surprises people. I went with the Rowdy One himself, Roddy Piper.
Ah, wow. I feel a little bit unprepared. I didn't have theme music ready to go, Rand. Jesus.
Well, I guess because he's at home and he didn't show up with all of his notes. He has other capabilities. When you're in the Golden Ghetto, everything's at the push of a button, John.
I guess so. Everything. I guess so.
Everybody's got a price in the Golden Ghetto. My honorable mention was Sting, Hogan, Savage, and Cena.
Okay, so let's talk about Cena, since you both have mentioned him. Why does he belong? Why in your minds do you think he belongs on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling?
I feel because if you look at what he's done post post-attitude, post these different eras. He's been his own era, okay, and he's done his own thing, and he's kind of where he started from scratch, and he's gone through and he's made this for himself, and he's been with merchandise, with quote-unquote Big Match John, with his match work, with his work rate, with his crowd response. You have, and I'm not talking about Larry Fofo or Lex Luger, you have the true total package in John Cena. And he delivers because he checks all those boxes. And, you know, I think, you know, he could have probably beaten Flair's record for titles, but maybe that might be something that he's cool with tying. Like, he doesn't feel like he needs to be the person to set that record.
In many ways, he's a perfect employee. He doesn't say no to any opportunities. The work that he did with Make-A-Wish alone is Hall of Fame
material.
He's the
number one worker. He's done the most Make-A-Wishes, if I'm correct, of any pro athlete. And that's big thing too, like the way he gives back. Like if he all around as a total package, I think it makes the most sense.
Well, I was gonna say I think he has the most Make-A-Wishes, period. Like celebrities, athletes, and everyone. So
well,
all right.
What is that? The brand have more music in the background?
Rand, what are you doing?
I'm a bad man. I'm a bad man. With my mic in my hands, I'm a bad man. Who else put out a number one album like that? Hey, life is good together, baby. We're going multi
media
sensory here.
All right, well. hey folks, it's gonna be one of those episodes.
I think Rand just kind of instead of talking about it, he just played a song. Like the guy, he touched that too. He's a musician. He's everything, and I think to me that's why he needs to be in that top four. He needs to be on that Mount Rushmore, not just an honorable mention.
Okay. Well, here we go. I'll go with mine.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. I of course have Hulk Hogan. I of course have the Nature Boy Ric Flair. But I have a gentleman that I think belongs on there because if it wasn't for him, then I don't think pro wrestling would be the way it is today or was the way it was back in the day. I feel Gorgeous George needs to be representing. He's the one that brought the showmanship to the sport. I think that so many people, including maybe even Ric Flair, borrowed a little bit of his act throughout the years.
I'll go a step further. He was the influence for Muhammad Ali.
True. Yeah, right. Exactly. So I think that Gorgeous George certainly belongs up there. And when you're talking about somebody that made a gigantic, whether you like it or you don't like it, but made a gigantic change in the sport of professional wrestling, Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Well, I would think if you're talking Mount Rushmore, well, God, yeah, I mean, that's a given. That he should be number one, like he should be there. But we're talking wrestlers, I thought.
Okay, well, Vince has wrestled. I mean, not well. He's not getting any 5 stars from Meltzer, but he has wrestled.
Michael Cole's wrestled. Come on, dude.
All right, we're saying
if you're gonna create a Mount Rushmore of legit workers. You're not gonna throw Vince there. Vince is awesome. We all kneel, we all bow, to wherever he stands. Like we all love him, but we love to hate him. So he gets all of our emotions. But he's a character. He's not a pro wrestler. But what,
okay.
Would you have an honorable mention?
Well, then my honorable mention. I do have an honorable mention, and maybe this individual can take Vince's spot. Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
I was waiting for Rand to play some music for that.
Let's do.
Do you smell what the Rock is cooking?
Not at the moment.
So yeah, I would
leave it at none.
I would pick Dwayne was an honorable mention because I feel like, you know, when we're talking about making an impact as well, much like Cena, he's done more outside of the WWE, you know, in terms of entertainment, in terms of being, you know, a spokesperson and all that jazz. So,
and I think if you're doing a top 10, yeah, Dwayne should be there. But here's my thing with him is he's taken such a hiatus. Cena's been constant. He's come back a little bit, and Cena still hasn't made his total mark, there's no pun intended, on the entertainment industry. I think that the world is still his, and he's still, like, he's been in numerous movies as well. He's written children's books. I mean, he's still he's still going to get to that level of The Rock and I think pass him. So I think The Rock makes sense. Maybe Rock maybe kind of paved the way, or kind of maybe just nudged the door, but Cena's kind of busted down that door and he has a lot further to go. It's been kind of hard for me to accept because I'm a big fan of Dwayne. Like, I love me some Dwayne, okay? But that's why I had to personally put Cena in there over him because of the way that they strapped the rocket pack on his back and he's flying to the moon.
Well, any closing thoughts, Ringside Rand, on this before we move on to our next category?
I can't disagree with anybody that's been mentioned.
One thing I just want to bring up is nobody, when you talk about a Rushmore too, it's kind of crazy because this guy has so much influence on today's professional wrestling. Nobody said Dusty Rhodes, even as an honorable mention. And that was kind of surprising to me. And I would put him above Taker, by the way, to be honest with you.
And I would second that, Joey. I would.
I think Dusty was a bigger influence backstage than he was than any of the people we mentioned other than Vince. I think the Dusty finish, the fact that his name is that common in the business, plus the influence that he created on his two kids. Yeah, I have no problem with Dusty.
There's that influence there that, in my opinion, he's done, even though Taker's been there, the longevity, but if you took another total package scenario, before I would put Taker in there, I would put Dusty in there. And Lord help us, if we did a full body of him, God, that would be a lot of real estate too.
That would be. I'm in agreement with Joey. And Rand, I think you make a valid point too. I think that for as talented as he was as a performer, I think that probably his biggest impact was taking that knowledge that he had and giving it to the next generation of stars. I think behind the scenes, Dusty was probably much more impactful, which is a tough thing to say because the man was over, like Grover.
You know who else we didn't mention who created NXT is Triple H.
Well, I think that up until the last couple of years, I think that Triple H's legacy has been a little bit, tarnished maybe. Because of the fact that he's, because he's part of the family. And I think that that's going to, I think that up until recently, I think that a lot of wrestling fans looked and go, well, he's only in his spot because of he's married into the family. I think that that's changed a lot because I think that once he took control of NXT, that wrestling fans go, oh, he actually does like wrestling. He gets it. Never mind. You know, personally myself, I always thought that Triple H was an okay worker. Like, I thought that he was a good main eventer, but I was very indifferent about him.
I'm seeing both sides of this. I have a lot of friends that are casual wrestling fans. I got one buddy, his name's Dante, and he works over at Polaris, and I'll go in there and visit him at his store, and we'll talk wrestling, and he has this huge chip on his shoulder. He can't see through those rose-colored glasses about trips because of where he's at and who he's married to. He can't separate that because he thinks that's where he's at. He just doesn't get it, and he doesn't get everything that he's done. I'm with Rand, but I don't think that he's an honorable mention yet. I think as NXT continues to evolve and we see where we get post-coronavirus wrestling, which is going to be another era, in my opinion. That's a whole other webcast, I think, too. I was sitting here thinking this today because you just sit and you get your mind goes crazy. I think we're going to have another type of era of professional wrestling is going to blossom from this with all the empty arena stuff and how creative people are getting. And I think that's something that maybe we'll start to see more with Triple H because they just announced what they're going to do, TakeOver next Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, John.
Yes, that is correct. So
they're doing things on the fly, and I think you're going to see a new evolution, pun intended, I guess, with that too. And I think maybe in a year from now or 2 years from now, maybe we could maybe look at him more as being in that four in that honorable mention.
Agreed. I think that is a good statement that, he's still got a lot of potential left, as does Cena, as does The Rock, as does some of these quote-unquote younger talents. Their legacy's not cemented yet, so.
And don't forget that the support system Triple H has down there, too. His best buddy's right there by his side, and the guys he has working there, you know, people can't say enough about the big wiggle down there. That's a whole other story, too. I'd love to do a Mount Rushmore of the most underrated professional wrestlers of some time, too, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I think when you talk about Norman Smiley, that's everybody loves him, and he's been there since FCW. So I think he's got a great support system, which helps too. But sorry, I'll digress. Let's stick to this main subject.
Okay, let's get to women wrestlers. If we were going to create a Mount Rushmore of women wrestlers, who would the four be? Ringside Rand, let's start with you.
Okay, I'm going to go longevity first of all. Somebody who not only did it in the ring, but also trained, maybe controversially, Fabulous Moolah, Trish Stratus, Charlotte Flair, and Gail Kim.
Okay, first of all, I have Fabulous Moolah on my list too, and I know it is very controversial, but I think that with the longevity and, you know, the impact that she made, you would be dumb not to have her on that list.
It's controversial today in 2020. It wasn't controversial years ago when she was doing what she was doing. Not that it's right.
Correct.
But yeah.
It wasn't known.
But I also have Moolah too, guys, just to let you know.
Okay. Charlotte Flair, that's a bold pick, ringside.
She is incredible in the ring, great athlete. She works well as a face and as a bad girl.
All right, Joey, how about your list for the female wrestling Mount Rushmore?
Well, I was with Rand on a few of these here. So I have Trish, which you can't do greatest or Mount Rushmore without Trish and what she did for women's professional wrestling. I did Moolah also. I also did Charlotte Flair because I agree with Rand 100% on probably where he's going with what she's been doing and who she's become. My number four was China.
Really?
I put because she was groundbreaking for what she did. She kind of, you know, wrestling the men and doing the things that she did and the evolution of women's wrestling and really getting a lot of just her fan base. There's a lot behind her as a character, as a person. And I put her in there with honorable mention of Lita, because Lita kind of brought a different style to women's professional wrestling. And then I put Mildred Burke. How can you not have Mildred Burke? I mean, she's from, you know, once again, back when Rand was, you know, kicking it in the minor leagues of professional wrestling. But, I mean, of professional baseball.
You know what? It wouldn't surprise us if Rand wrestled. I mean, because it seems that we learn something new about Rand every podcast.
That's true. That might be true.
Yes.
But no, because she was just such, I mean, she was a draw. And the stuff that I watched, she kind of set the tone, just like Gorgeous George would set the tone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned, I think Mildred Burke has to be mentioned that same. So I would throw her out there in my honorable mention.
I have Mildred Burke on my list because, again, the same thing. She was the innovator. She was the draw. She was an athlete. She wasn't just a pretty face. She could go and held that NWA women's title for a very long time. So I put her, Mildred Burke, Fabulous Moolah. I put Sensational Sherry Martel only because she was multifaceted. Not only could she wrestle, but she also was a great manager or valet. I mean, she was fantastic in both those roles, which it's two different skill sets. I don't care. Many people that are listening to this might go, you're out of your mind, John. No, it's two different skill sets. And to be able to be good at both of those, I think that is deserving of being on the Mount Rushmore.
Well, I think the best explanation of a valet skill set, because I believe all of us have watched part one of the Benoit Dark Side of the Ring, if I'm not mistaken,
yes.
Right?
Correct. Okay.
When they interviewed Woman's Sister and talked about how woman and her skill set to be a valet. So Sherry had that too. So I totally get that. I'm going to speak about Sherry a little bit later on. That's a little bit of a foreshadowing there. I wouldn't have put her personally in the women, but I see your point as being valid.
Okay, and then my fourth one, this is going to be a stretch, and I think it might cause a little controversy possibly because I'm putting three people in my fourth spot. I'm putting the three young ladies from Columbus, Ohio, Ethel Johnson, Marva Scott, Babs Wingo, the first African-American female wrestlers coming from Columbus. Chris Bourne did a documentary on them. Chris was just on last week. Maybe that's why they were in my head, but I'm saying I got to go with them. If you want to be picky about it, then I say we'll put Ethel as the fourth slot and Marvin Babs could be my honorable mentions. But the mere fact that those individuals, those young ladies, what they had to go through to, you know, do their job, to live their dream. I mean, in that documentary that Chris did, it's amazing. I mean, you know, they just didn't have to just deal with sexism, but they also had to deal with racism. So, you know, I think that they deserve quite a bit of credit. And sadly, I don't think they get the credit.
Oh, no. You're probably one of the first person to bring them up on a podcast forever. And that's a shame that we don't pay homage or pay respect to where they come from or the path that they paved. I'm personally not as familiar with their work as I should be to put them on a Mount Rushmore, but I can totally see where they would deserve to have a place there.
Rand, any final thoughts on the women that should be on the Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling?
No, I had Chyna and Lita as my honorable mention, so we're pretty much in the same ballpark.
Okay. All right, let's move on to tag teams that certainly made an impact. And I'll go first since I have yet to go first. I'm sure this team is probably on everybody's list, the Road Warriors.
No, didn't get the Road Warriors.
Really, what? Rand?
Ooh, I can't wait to go to him.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joey, you have the Road Warriors, obviously.
Yeah, because I'm smart, correct.
So my second pick would be the Dudley Boys.
Dudleys.
Thirdly, I'm going to go with the Rock and Roll Express. And lastly, which is a little bit of a stretch, but again, I have a good reason. I'm going with the tag team of Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody.
You need to change your name to Stretch Armstrong or Rubber Band Man. That's a super stretch. So you're going to say, is it because of how they ran roughshod in Japan? So you're
They terrorized Japan. I mean, and they were so dominant over there that, yeah, I picked them, you know? I know it was a controversial pick because, you know, my honorable mention, Midnight Express, and it doesn't matter which version, either one of them is clearly deserving of it. But I bumped Brody and Hansen just because I felt like their wildness, the way that they changed Japanese tag team wrestling, was worthy of being on it.
You'd be in a Brody mark, too.
Well, I am a Brody mark. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
My tag teams, Harlem Heat, the Dudleys, the Four Horsemen. And I'm going with the Outsiders, Hall and Nash, that started with the NWO. My honorable mention would be Heart Foundation.
Wow, there's a lot to unpack on that list.
Okay. I could have my music cued. I don't know why I don't have music cued. I can't touch it. I'm the DJ of the bunch. I don't have music cued.
All right, Joey, what do you say for your tag teams?
Well, I'm in some agreement with both you guys. I think if you took your guys' list, put them together, we'd be in some congruence.
Okay.
But you guys, if you don't have the Road Warriors as your number one tag team.
No.
Like, you literally don't like professional wrestling. Like, they were such a – there's a reason there's a thing called Road Warrior Pop. It's because how they popped a crowd, how they got everybody behind them and excited. Nothing has probably been that loud since Edge's return at the Royal Rumble, which people said that was deafening. So the Road Warriors have got to be in there. There's no particular order with mine. I have the Hart Foundation. Simply because they were WWE tag team wrestling. At a time when teams came and went, the Hart Foundation was there and they were solid for years. And I was always a fan, whether they were a heel or babyface. I have the Rock and Rolls in there too, John. You can't talk about tag team wrestling without talking about Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson and their contributions and how Ricky continues to give back. And how in 2020, they're still wrestling tag matches.
Yeah, and I think also, just to interject for a minute, I think that the Rock and Roll Express showed you what smaller guys could do.
Oh, that's a given. That's a given. And but that was NWA, too, back then. NWA kind of showed you what smaller guys could do, you know, because that's what New York was your big guys, Atlanta and down south, that was your smaller guys. And the Rock and Rolls, you know, and everywhere they went, they've been champions. So that was my three. I have one that you guys didn't touch on. And during the Attitude Era, without the tag team that the guys just talked about of the Dudleys, You don't have the Dudley boys if you don't have Edge and Christian. And they won just because of sheer win of championships and what they've gone on to do afterwards and who they were as stars. I have Edge and Christian. I wasn't even an Edge and Christian fan back in the day, but I have them in my Mount Rushmore. My honorable mention of the Dudley boys and Harlem Heat. I don't have the Hardys there. We haven't talked about them. I don't know if you can, though, because there's been so many that I think meant more to professional wrestling, I guess, kind of, or were more of a team. But that's mine. Road Warriors, Heart Foundation, Rock and Roll Express, Edge and Christian with honorable mention, the Dudley boys, and Harlem Heat.
Okay, I agree that Harlem Heat is an honorable mention, but I have to disagree, Rand. I don't see why they should be on a Mount Rushmore. Convince me.
Who are the Outsiders?
No, Harlem Heat.
They worked with the big guys. They worked with small guys. I think some of the biggest pops I've ever been at were WCW matches.
I don't know.
Pay-per-views. Yeah.
Okay. I just.
You okay with the various horsemen being on there?
Well, I think that Arn and Tully definitely would be on there, and I'm assuming that that's what you're referring to, because I don't think that there was too many other, unless you're talking about Ole and Arn, which,
Horsemen, or that'd be the Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
Well, yeah, they were the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, but they were also part of the Horsemen. I have no problem with the Horsemen. I have no problem with the Outsiders. I think that you're absolutely correct in your synopsis that if it wasn't for Hall and Nash, there wouldn't have been probably an NWO, and then the landscape for the Monday Night Wars would have been drastically different. I was just going to say, I'm just not sold on Harlem Heat. Sorry. But go ahead, Joey. What were you going to say?
I'm sold on Harlem Heat as an honorable mention. My whole thing with Rand, just kind of go off that, you could talk about the Horsemen, which is great. Woo! We all love the Horsemen. I think if you were to talk about the greatest singles wrestlers that became tag team specialists, I think Arn Anderson's in that Mount Rushmore.
Oh, yeah.
I think the tag teams he's been a part of aren't in that Mount Rushmore, if you get what I'm saying. So, like, you would take Bobby Eaton, great tag team wrestler, right? But the tag teams have been at Express, they were great, but you know what I'm saying? So I feel like if you do that, the tag teams the Horsemen had were great because of Arn Anderson, in my opinion.
Okay.
That's
so
the point.
If, you took, like, one, like, you know, the greatest tag team wrestlers, like single wrestlers, and you did a Mount Rushmore, I think, yeah, you'd be there, but my two cents.
I got a side note. I think the best tag team finisher move was Total Elimination, Cronus and Perry Saturn.
It's still used today. Who uses that? Doesn't somebody in AEW use that?
No, I was going to say, I thought that Undisputed Era, Fish and O'Reilly, I think, do a version of it.
You're correct. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they do a version of it.
I think the team that could have been a great tag team was Ming and the Barbarian in WCW.
They were solid, but I don't know if they had that it factor to make them
Yeah, they could have been booked to run roughshod over tag team for a long time.
Now, do you guys think if they would have gave the Rockers a tag team run, not just a title, like a small title, but an actual run, do you think you could have put them in an honorable mention somewhere? They were, you know, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
Probably, I just don't, you know, that's one of the things I was kind of thinking about. Well, the Rockers were great for so long, and they were a great tag team because of them, but they never had any title runs, really. They had the one small one.
I think my omission of the Road Warriors is they weren't on the shows that I was watching because they moved around so much.
True, because for a long time they were like Andre. They moved around a lot.
Because they're an attraction.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, too. None of us talked about the Steiner brothers.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
The Steiner brothers, you know, I can't believe I didn't put them in the honorable mention. There wasn't a better technical tag team in the world at one point than the Steiner brothers.
When he was young and healthy, the Frankensteiner was an incredible move.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, they were innovative with that, you know, the Frankensteiner. They did the Steiner screwdriver, which didn't appear too many times because not many people wanted to take that. They did that flying bulldog, double team flying bulldog that nobody else was doing. They were very innovative. That's a team that, look, there's going to be people that get overlooked, I think. You know, we've already hit it on, you know, Dusty obviously didn't get some props on any of our lists, and the Steiners fall into that category too. I mean, they were a fantastic tag team. And, I mean, look, here's another one that we could throw out there, and maybe some folks would disagree with this, but the Fabulous Ones. Kern and Lane were incredibly over and incredibly a great tag team. And not only could wrestle, but their stuff in Memphis when they, you know, feuded with the Moondogs and with the Sheepherders, they would get absolutely violent.
If I'd lived in Texas longer, I might have had the Von Erichs or the Freebirds.
True. Very true. That's another
lots of teams we can definitely overlook, but I think we hit the nail on the head of the ones that have paved the way and that have left their mark for sure.
Well, you know what? Before we talk about our next couple of categories, I need to let everybody know at home real quickly that this episode is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And man, oh man, they got everything you need if you're a comic book geek. They got single issues, they got graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, posters, back issues, and various other collectibles. So please stop on over to the store and say hi to the fine folks over there. And they're available online if you don't want to leave the house, or in this case, you can't leave the house because you're not allowed. Anyways, little coronavirus humor in there. Anyways, check them out online, wgcomics.com, or you can find them on Facebook. Just search for World's Greatest Comics. And no matter how you interact with them, whether it's online or in person, let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD cast. Let's move on with wrestling managers. Which one of these individuals should be on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling? DJ Joey Blaze, we'll let you go first. Go ahead.
Well, if anybody knows me, they know one of my favorite personalities in professional wrestling of all time is a manager. And if I was a professional wrestler and I wanted to be part of a stable and I needed a mouthpiece, I would go with Bobby Heenan. Mm-hmm. The brain on my Mount Rushmore. Polly Dangerously is on my Mount Rushmore. Every millennial's favorite professional wrestler, James E. Cornette, is on my Mount Rushmore. And rounding out my Rushmore is nobody else, baby, but the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Yeah, baby. That is I don't have music, so I got to go with impersonations, I guess, at this point. So that gives you Heenan, Polly, Cornette, Jimmy Hart with my honorable mention. I did three honorable mentions because I told you I was going to touch on somebody a little bit later, which I'm going to hear in a second. But first of all, classy Freddie Blassie. He created terms, pencil neck geek, stuff like that. Freddie Blassie, Paul Bearer, a lot of people know that not even wrestling fans who Paul Bearer is. And then where I brought up one of John's top women, Sensational Sherry, because she adapted to every wrestler that she was a manager of, from Shawn to DiBiase to Harlem Heat. So Sister Sherry. So that would be my honorable mentions.
Okay, I'm going to go and list mine. I too have three of your picks, Joey, Bobby the Brain Heenan, James E. Cornette, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. I put this one on because he's had a lot of success, and he was probably, as a young kid, the first good guy manager I ever saw, and that would be Captain Lou Albano, with my honorable mention being Miss Elizabeth, because she was so unique. In that, especially in those early years, she didn't say much, but she had a presence still, and she was so integral to the Macho Man Randy Savage character that it was the counterbalance, so to speak, to his like over the top manner and whatnot. So I give her an honorable mention, but mine are Heenan, Cornette, Hart, and Albano.
That's interesting with Albano. So pre or post rubber bands? When was it?
Oh, that would have been post rubber bands, I believe. Yes, he had the rubber bands in his face. So.
Oh, nice. Hey, I tell you what, he was stream there. He was at the forefront of rock and wrestling, being in the Cyndi Lauper video.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And playing Mario. So I can see that I liked Albano a lot, but he's just not greatest to me. But that's just me.
Well, 16, he had, 16 different teams to the World Tag Team titles.
True. Very true.
You know? And like I said, as a kid, he was like the only good guy manager I ever saw. You know what I mean? In terms of a guy, because, I mean, there were women who were faces, you know, Sunshine, Miss Elizabeth, but he was the first guy that kind of was a face. So, Rand, what say you when it comes to
I had Bobby Heenan clearly number one. My research showed that Paul Heyman, Paul E. Dangerously had 40 wrestlers and 8 tag teams.
Wow.
I had Jimmy Hart, and I had Captain Lou. 31 wrestlers and 14 tag teams.
14 tag team champions. All right. Okay.
My honorable mention would have been Cornette and Freddie Blassie.
See, Freddie Blassie never did anything for me. Like, I really, like, he was just there. I didn't really, as a fan, never really dug him. Like, I respected his wrestling career that was out there in California and all the stuff he did with John Tolos and those epic wars. But as a manager, he just didn't do anything for me. Like, I was like, eh, he's there.
He pissed me off. He was anti-American. He managed Sheik and Volkov. And he was proud of it. He was proud when Sheiky said, "Don't say USA, USA." And he was proud of it. He managed to manage him the world title.
All right. Well, I just, yeah. He's in that group with a few other, you know, like Paul Jones. And he never did anything for me. He was kind of boring. I never dug him. And Mr. Fuji was really not a very good manager either. I never dug Mr. Fuji.
He just was more of a face.
Yeah. But
so we really didn't talk about any world-class guys. There's no Skandor Akbar, which I know you were probably a huge mark for them, or Gary Hart.
Well, Gary Hart was – there was a lot of consideration for Gary Hart being on my list. I'm not going to lie. But for me, like, he's a good manager, but I think he was a better booker. And so if we were going to do a category of bookers, he would be on that list because he's the one that engineered the whole Freebirds Von Erich feud. And he was the one that was so innovative. And also he was kind of goofy. If you do the research, he was a weird dude, but, yeah, I mean, definitely Gary Hart was considered, Akbar, honestly, Joey, this will shock people. Yeah. Akbar was another one that I'm like, eh, okay. He's there. You know, he never did anything for me.
And I find that shocking, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Devastation Incorporated to me was like, okay, it's a, Kamala's cool, but, you know, I was never really a big fan of anybody else in that group. It just was like, okay, you know.
I'll tell you, somebody that I think if they would have stuck to it would have been pretty cool, but he decided to become a ref, was Teddy Long. I thought Teddy Long was a great manager. I thought what he did with the Skyscrapers and what he did with Doom, I loved him with Doom.
And yeah.
If they would have kept them together longer as a tag team, I think we would have probably talked about them in the Mount Rushmore just because they were groundbreaking. But the reason I said it brought up is simply because Teddy Long could talk. He could talk the talk. He had his guys fired up. And you saw he had a mouthpiece when because he became the SmackDown general manager. You know, everything was a tag team match player. But, you know, I think that if he would have stuck with it, I think he would have been somebody that you could have thought about putting on the list too.
Well, going back to world class, one of the other ones I thought about putting on there was Missy Hyatt, because she was the first, like, snotty, bitchy valet that I think, you know, really opened up doors for some other folks and some other women later on down the road.
Open doors, open legs, whatever.
Oh, now, hey now. Hey what? Now. Well, what? She is, I did read her biography. She is pretty open. She has, you know, bedded quite a few folks. So I guess that's really common knowledge.
I'm waiting for Rand to come back and volley with Sonny if you're going to talk about Missy Hyatt.
No, staying out of both of those.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Let the listeners know that one of the three of us is married.
Smart man, Rand. All right, now moving on to our final category, and the one that I'm going to speak openly and honestly and truthfully on this one. Billy Jackson, throw out the idea of Central Ohio Mount Rushmore of wrestling. And, you know, I'm going to be honest. I feel like I don't know if I can actually pick a Mount Rushmore, because I've had the privilege, and Joey, I know you've had the privilege to work with so many talented guys and gals from the Central Ohio area. I think that if we pick somebody, I think we're going to get a lot of people going, well, wait a minute, why that person? It's because you're friends with them or whatnot. And so I think I'm going to throw out just two names. And then, Joey, if you're cool with this, and Rand, if you're cool with this, maybe we'll let the listeners, especially those listeners here in Columbus, throw out the other two names. All right. Does that sound like a good compromise, maybe?
Sure.
I think that makes the most sense, but I think we might have a couple things that we would want to add, but not necessarily put up there. But yeah.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think that for me, when you talk about Central Ohio and professional wrestling, just because like I've had people say this to me several times, and the people that say this to me are not wrestling fans, but I would say, hey, yeah, I'm involved in independent pro wrestling. And immediately, especially the person who was born and raised here in the Central Ohio area, the first words out of their mouth, oh, like Flying Fred Curry? I mean, when you have a half dozen people say that to you throughout the years, you kind of realize that people remember that dude. And while I'm not real familiar with his work, from what I understand, he was a staple here when big time wrestling from Detroit would swing on down and the various other independent promotions that he would work. So I think maybe we're talking about Central Ohio, Flying Fred needs to be on that list.
Go ahead, Randy.
Side note, after he retired from wrestling, he ran a locksmith service here in Columbus.
Okay. See, I did not know that.
You are that random knowledge.
That's all right. Go ahead, John.
Heard the name. I wasn't fortunate enough to spend a lot of time in the IWA gym. A lot of our cohorts and peers did. But back in the day, I was known to rent that gym and talk to Bull and look at his posters. Every old poster he used to have back in that old office, all the old posters, there was Fred Curry, and he was from here. Some of the other names you saw in there, unfortunately, weren't from here, but that worked around here a lot. He worked with you see Bobo Brazil, see the original Sheik. So, you know, but Fred was from here, and there was a lot of respect for him, and he definitely would be on that Mount Rushmore.
And I think the man that you just mentioned, you know, for whether you liked him or you didn't like him, I think you have to consider that Bull Miller should be another person on that Central Ohio Mount Rushmore of wrestling. I mean, he did it for a very long time. And yes, at times, a lightning rod of controversy, you know. And personally, I can only, as I do with every person in this wrestling industry, I look at how they treated me and how they interacted with me, and he was always very kind and very amiable to me in the few dealings I've had with Bull. But I know that there's some other people that had other experiences with him. But I think that when you're talking about Central Ohio wrestling, you got to go with Bull.
Not to step in front of Rand or step on Rand's toes. I think that's a given, just because I mean without Bull Miller, there's no Bull Miller. There's no a lot of Central Ohio talent. And there was a lot of talented guys back when I was doing anything to try and stiff their jocks, I guess, with lack of a better term, to be on shows and to do stuff and get to know a lot of great quality people that I got to know back then. But I'm on the same boat, John. Maybe because I was always handing him money because we were renting the gym for the most part. And sometimes he was forgetful, so he might not remember who I was, but I never had a bad interaction with Bull. And Bull, he ran everywhere in Central Ohio. And, you know, it's a shame that he's not any longer here with us. And it was a huge surprise when we lost him. He's definitely got to be on that Mount Rushmore.
Rand, what do you think?
I agree with both of those.
Okay. And then, like I said, in here to reveal, you know, what we talked a little bit off air, there's so many people that we could say probably deserve to be on that Mount Rushmore from the Central Ohio area. But how do you limit it to just two people? And that's why I think that maybe we let the fans kind of let us know, especially, like I said, if you're from the Columbus, Ohio area, you're from the Central Ohio area, you know, feel free on social media. To let us know who you think the other two should be in this Mount Rushmore. And you know what? You're free to feel that maybe we're copping out a little bit. And that's maybe true, you know, because we have so many great friends. And I say we, Joey and myself, from being in the biz for so long that, you know, it's hard to pick those last two.
That's one of the things, yeah, you're talking about. You don't want to upset anybody. There's lots of great names, but you know, as I said here, and I think about it, though, it's not just guys that worked here and were from here, there's some guys out there, or I should say ladies, I mean, if you're going to do it, that have made an impact, lady from the Central Ohio, such as Madison Rain. I mean, if you're going to do it, I mean, she is from the area, right?
Sure,
and
yeah.
Alexa Bliss. I mean, Alexa Bliss has done a ton of stuff. So, I mean, if you're not, I mean, she didn't work here indie-wise. I mean, if you're to round out a top four, I guess, with people that are doing it at a different level. But we kind of, I guess, wanted to keep it more local. And it's tough, too. I know Rand has one, too, that kind of sticks out like a sore thumb.
Are you talking about the Macho Man Randy Savage?
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, technically born in Zanesville, you know, and spent a little bit of time here in Columbus. I mean, that's a consideration. You know, it's just, it's really tough. It's really tough, and it's a hard one, probably harder than any of the other categories that we did.
I agree with that. It's tough because we've been fortunate enough to work with so many talented people.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And, you know, it's tough to, you know, split hairs with that. So, yeah, that's why we definitely want to reach out and hear from everybody else on that.
There you go. All right, well, gentlemen, we're getting up there to, quite a lengthy show. So let's go ahead and start wrapping things up. DJ Joey Blaze, where can folks find you on the internet?
Easiest is on Twitter at DJ Joey Blaze. Hopefully next time I come on, I actually got a couple things I'd like to plug. I don't want to take any more time right now. I think we can talk about this off air and talk about this. So we got some things going on centrally. We're hoping the coronavirus doesn't cancel down the road. So I'm going to talk about that maybe next time we come on.
All right, you got it. Rand, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
I am there on the internet. Their Twitter thing. Randmar.
All right. Name. There you go. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Pro Wrestling Pundits, Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze, joining me for a conversation about the Mount Rushmores of professional wrestling. It's a controversial topic, no doubt. It's one that is going to be debated for years and years and years. And maybe you agreed with some of the things that we said, and maybe you didn't. And I know what many of you are thinking, and you have the right to think that way, that Joey and I certainly did wimp out a little bit when it came to naming the Mount Rushmore of Central Ohio Pro Wrestling. But, you know, again, put yourselves in our shoes. We've been in this business a long time. We know a lot of people. We've made a lot of great friends. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to damage that friendship or that relationship I have with so many guys by not putting them on the list or putting them on the list, and they don't want to be on the list. So that's why I thought it was a great idea to have you, the listeners of the PVD cast, especially those of you in Columbus, Ohio, and there's a ton of you, hit me up on the social medias, hit Joey up on the social medias, or even Rand, and let us know who should be on that Mount Rushmore of Central Ohio Pro Wrestling. As we said, definitely, I mean, Flying Fred Curry and Bull Miller deserve to be on there, but the final two slots, who should go on it? So let us know, and let me tell you how you could do that. For me, you can reach me a couple different ways. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter. My personal handle is @pvdmvp, and you can leave me a message there. You can leave me a message on the Facebook page, and that, of course, is facebook.com/pvdcast. And you can even get in touch with me through Instagram. Just search for pvdcast and let me know what you think as to whether we are right or wrong on some of these Mount Rushmores, and especially who should be on the Central Ohio version. With that, I need to run down real quickly where you can find this podcast, as if you don't already know, but maybe you want to tell some folks about it. And if you do, I appreciate it. Of course, you can find it at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. And it's available through most of the major podcast platforms, such as Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Deezer, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise. Basically, the list goes on and on and on. All you got to do is go to your favorite platform, search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, PVDcast John Orlando, and you're sure to find it. And don't forget to rate, to review, and to subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, subscribing makes sure you never miss a great episode of the PVDcast. Well, I'm going to get on out of here. I know it's been a little bit of a longer episode, so I thank you all for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and most importantly, stay healthy and safe out there.